to another episode of No Filter Tattoo Podcast. I feel like it's been a while, yeah, since we recorded, but you know, it's the usual host, me, my boy Tez, my boy Bryson, and then today, we got a very special guest. We have May.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
She said, what?
Yeah, right. AKA 99 underscore, is it two underscores or one underscore?
Doesn't matter.
It's 99 tattoos, all right?
Yeah, we'll put it yesterday. I had to tell one of my clients I tattooed yesterday, I was like, 99 underline tattoo.
So make sure y'all follow her. But
One of the best traditional style artists in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of traditional tattooers that we're like, she's not traditional.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you consider your style like traditional, neo-trad, or just, because I like the uniqueness you bring to it.
Nobody really knows how to define it. I think that literally the other day, I think that Chico was on the phone and was talking to someone about a business marketing opportunity and was just like, you know, for example, I've got this guest spot here and she does a... and he kind of like paused and I was just like, yeah, that's about right. Like, I derive a lot of my inspiration from traditional work, the bold, heavy black shading and everything, but I use a lot of thin lines. But I feel like even neo-traditional has its own look to it.
Yeah.
Like, you can look at something and be like, oh, the shiny looking roses and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's neo-traditional.
Yeah.
So I don't really even call it that. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't.
It's her style.
Right. It's very unique, one of a kind. She tattooed her 3 years. I mean, we can 2 to 3, right? We'll say in that area. But already, so early in the game, but you're already killing it. Thank you for coming on. How do you feel today?
Scared.
That's cool. That's normal.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Like I said, we're glad to have you on. So today's, it's kind of a switch up because, like you said, or like we were talking, normally we have like artists who like 10 years, 15 years in the game. And that's great. Like, we want experienced artists giving their takes, but at the same time, we want to bring, like, all perspectives on the podcast because, you know, that's what it's about. It's not just, oh, you need to listen to us, the veterans, and, you know, this new generation is messing things up. I think both sides can learn from each other, right?
Yeah.
So, we're happy to have you. And like I said, you're a great artist. Like I said, don't feel like, oh, I haven't been tattooing as long as these other people, like, because... What I experienced, it don't matter how long you've been tattooing. Like, if you're good, you're good.
Second year.
Right.
Yeah. I think that when you messaged me, it wasn't that I was not open to the podcast, but I hadn't watched all of them, but I had seen a few snippets of, like, I think you brought on, like, Prof Bundy, and I think her name is Can. Like, people that have been tattooing for, like, a hot minute. And so when you messaged me, I was very honored, but I was like, the fuck am I going to say to some dude that's been tattooing for half my lifetime?
Don't worry, we'll get it out of you.
What kind of insight am I really gonna have?
Nah, trust me, you'll be surprised. Like, there's tattooers or people out there who will listen to this podcast and be like, wow, like, I really resonate with what you say and how you view things, and that's what it's all about. And not only that, is giving your clients a chance to view more of you, you know, and everything too. So, nah, trust me, I think every tattooer has something to add to the tattooing industry, you know, or craft or whatever. I know some people argue about if it's an industry or craft, but you know,
it's a little bit of both.
Wait, what?
Right.
Sure, it's both.
That's new to me.
Right. But
you know, they try to industrialize like everything though.
So like we were actually talking about earlier, like your style is very unique. Like I said, you're versatile. Like I see you do more than, you know, just traditional-ish kind of work. You do like the black illustrative work. You even dabble in some black and gray realism. I saw that sick portrait you did. And then, you know, you crank out these flashies all the time. So like, how'd you like find your style, you know, which is something hard to do in this day and age, right?
So much fucking trial and error. I think that really, for me, this is just my personal take on it. I'm sure that people feel differently. But in tattooing, you know how unstable this industry is. You know, you're not always going to get paid. And you're going to have to mostly do a lot of tattoos, especially in your first couple years, which I am in. Tattoos that you don't necessarily love to do. You're going to have to do a lot of different styles that you don't want to do. And that's fine. At the end of the day, you need to make sure that you're fed and this is a job. But I think that the reason why I started going so hard on digital art was because, as much as I love doing art on paper, and I did a lot of that in my apprenticeship, I talked to Wes Holland, actually, and he was encouraging me to do even more digital art, because I was already starting to do it, and he was just like, how about do it some more? And I started pumping it out more, and I started to realize over time that I was trying a little bit too hard to make my tattoos and art look like someone else that I admired. And I think it's good to take inspiration, because I still do that. I'll look at tattoos and be like, okay, I like the technical aspect of how you did XYZ, But I think that for me, it really started picking up when I just stopped doing what anybody else wanted me to do. Because you have to do tattoos that you don't want to do all the time. But paper and digital art, you don't have to do anything. You're not obligated to do anything because nobody's necessarily getting it unless they ask for it.
Yeah.
So you can literally draw anything, and it can be stupid. It can be objectively bad, and I don't care, because to me, at the end of the day, Flash is the one place nowadays where I think I can find complete creative expression without worrying on whether or not a client is going to like it, because if they don't like it, they don't got to get it.
Yeah, it's subjective.
Yeah.
So how do you balance your digital art during your, you know, weekly, daily basis?
Balancing tattooing and
moving art. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. It's hard. And I used to, I think that it's really been a journey in the last maybe like year or so, where in the beginning when I started pumping this shit out, I don't know if you noticed, it probably wasn't even that apparent, but I would put deadlines on myself where I was like, let me put out an entire rendered flash sheet, or at least a sketched, fully fleshed out flash sheet once a week. That was my goal.
And when did you start doing that?
Probably like last year, around like March or so. Okay. It was after the Atlanta convention, and I was just like, let me pump some shit out. And then I did. And dude, once a week became exhausting, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I did try to do it about once or twice a month. It comes on and off nowadays because of the way that tattooing is and how unstable it is. I just do it when I can and when I want to.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, sometimes that's the best you can do. And it's not because I'm not passionate or because I don't want to work hard, but I have like a regular ass tattoo job where I have to like, you know, take on clients and do regular shit. Yeah. So I can't always just be fucking off.
That's kind of,
and you have your personal life too.
Yeah.
You got your dog. You got to take care of.
Right.
Oh yeah. Edgar. Yeah.
It's a catch-22 with tattooing, right? It's like, you want to be busy and doing like a lot of tattoos, but then it takes away from like your actual personal art that you enjoy doing. And I know like a lot of tattoo artists kind of get down on themselves because they don't do their own personal art as much as they should. I mean, me personally, like I've fallen off a lot. Like I pretty much mainly only draw for designs. Like I used to like try to at least crank out like a canvas painting like once or twice a year.
2022 or 2023, you was kind of heavy on
it. Yeah, that the last, I think that was, that skull one is the last, that was 2022.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you. And
it's, it's time consuming. Is that oil as well? It's oil is also very time consuming. Like,
but it's,
it takes time.
It does. But I think, you know, the fact that you're still cranking them out and working is impressive. So, like, pat yourself on the back for that. And any tattooers who are still cranking out flash sheets while working and all that stuff, like, salute to you. Cause
I'm gonna hit you with a question that most people probably gonna ask anyway. So, were you always drawing before tattooing?
Drawing before tattooing? For sure. It wasn't good. My style before I got into tattooing was actually mostly, I don't want to say color realism, but it bordered on color realism. Okay. I had very like, I have an art account that isn't connected to my account anymore that I can show you of the kind of stuff that I did if you want to pull it up.
So how'd you like switch from like color realism to what you do now?
I don't know. Honestly, there was something in me that when I started tattooing, I think that tattooers understand this. I think that some clients maybe don't 100% understand this because they haven't necessarily done it. But tattooing, if you think about it as a medium versus colored pencil versus oil versus acrylic, it is a completely different medium that is unlike anything that is on paper. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I was doing on paper was all well and good, but in tattooing practice, it wasn't something I enjoyed, nor was it something that I got to do a lot. Like, when you think about it, color realism, they don't always have to be big color realism portraits of, like, I don't know, like a basketball player or something. Right, but, like, it's still color realism, and it's kind of specific, and not everybody's going to want that. And when you're an apprentice, you're not going to usually get that kind of work anyway. So I remember at the beginning, I wasn't getting much practice for it. I didn't really want to do it. It was really difficult. Packing color and learning about color is very difficult in the beginning, and I just didn't get any joy out of it anymore. And so I kind of just, for a while, was kind of just doing my appointments and taking walk-ins like a motherfucker, doing all that shit, and then drawing flash in a way that I thought would sell. And then eventually when I made that switch over to just making flash that I wanted to fucking make, not giving a shit on whether or not it sold, that's when it really started to hit me that, okay, this is what I want to do.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, like, did you experiment with a lot of different styles when you're with your flash before you kind of landed on what you did? Like, were you messing around with, like, new school, anime, illustrative, or was it just how you just kind of gravitated towards that traditional and illustrative kind of look?
I think it changed. I think I definitely, in the very beginning, was a lot more focused on, like, trad-related stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at my stuff from, like, March of last year, it is a little bit more in line of what you would consider to be, like, trad or neo-trad. Mm-hmm. And I still have a lot of inspiration from that work, but there are some styles that I will say that I have just never touched, anime being one of them. I don't...
I was the same. When you said that, I was like, I haven't seen no German anime.
I have never...
Even I was like...
She might have messed around with it and, like... Like, you know, it's not for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah, there's just some styles, and, like, you know, if someone comes to me and wants, like, an anime logo or an anime character, I'm not going to be like, no, I can't do it. Like, it's just, you know, at the end of the day, like, give me the image and we'll work with it. But, like, I have noticed that a lot of anime tattooers that do those big old sleeves and shit, they usually have some sort of connection to that anime, so they've either watched it or they know about it or they have a lot of friends that watch it. I don't think I've really consistently watched an anime since I was in, like, high school. So... Right. I am just so completely out of touch. Every time anime is on screen, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm out of touch with Star Wars, so trust me, they come in here, I'll be...
Oh, well, that's fair. Who the character? Fuck is in touch with Star Wars? There's like 15 movies that come out every year.
Dang, Christian, that's crazy.
Hold on, man. Let Christian hear this episode. Hold on. But no, that's absolutely. I think, you know, that's important, too. It's like, you want to, like, connect with what you're tattooing and designing. So it's cool that you stuck to, like, something that just got gravitated towards you.
Yeah.
So I would say since you've become, like, on this kind of digital wave, but before then, did you, like, paint a lot or did you?
Oh, yeah. I painted a lot. And especially, well, this is going way back, but when I was even in high school, I was painting a lot of different shit. And I painted on, like, these big canvases, and I used a lot of Prismacolor pencils and watercolor. Cool. I used ink. I used
everything.
I worked on paper a lot. Like, this, if you look, if you were to take my papers from when I first started in tattooing, just on paper stuff, like, you would have stacks of stuff that I drew. Like, it's... I was for sure on paper way before I was on digital, but I think that nowadays digital serves me a little bit better because...
More efficient, you think?
It's not even... Well, it is more efficient, I would argue, but I think that nowadays, the older I've gotten, you know, I've started to understand myself and my behaviors a little bit more, and I've noticed when I draw, I'm a lot more chaotic than I thought I was, and I think that because digital art allows you to edit and allows you to...
Smart.
...look at it in a different perspective, it was much easier for me to... use my natural workflow to work on digital because of how chaotic it is. Like, if you talk to anybody that knew me during my early career, the way that I draw looks psychotic. I'm, like, scribbling on a piece of paper. I look fucking batshit insane. And digital art kind of allows me to have my fast-paced brain just kind of spit shit out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not just efficiency. It's just it suits my workflow better.
Okay. No, that's awesome. So, would you, like... Because I like, when I look at your flash, like, it looks, like, really close to, like, it's done on paper, like a physical medium, which is hard to do with a lot of digital, like, artwork. Like, what, are you using any kind of, like, different techniques, or is it specific app you use? You just, like, Procreate and using certain brushes or something like that?
It is part that, like I said before, I did get a lot of inspiration from Wes Holland, and he did help me just with small things.
Yeah, his flash is awesome, too.
Yeah, he helped me with little things, like I would just text him being like, hey, how do you import? Like, just, like, really mundane-ass shit, and, like, I'm going to stop bothering him. But he was really kind and gave me some information, but I truly have found that the best teacher for me has been fucking around. You just
hit
buttons until you like it. There are times where my flash sheet will come out a certain way, and then before I post it, I completely change the way that it looks entirely before I post it. I change the background, I change the texture, I change the color. When I draw my black and gray flash, it won't even be in black and gray sometimes. Sometimes it's in a monochromatic color scheme. I do what I want. I flip around the stupid little app until I like what I see.
So you don't really have, like, a set method.
No,
it's kind of just a chaotic process. Like, it's like whatever I'm feeling
chaos.
That day.
It's pure chaos. Like, I think that I have a little bit of a rhyme or reason to what I do sometimes just because I've done it so many times, but my artistic process is incredibly chaotic, and if anybody tried to pin it down, I don't know that I could
like
even...
Like Bob Ross, a little happy mistakes.
Yeah, there's a lot of happy mistakes. There's a lot of files on my iPad that will never see the light of day, and that's okay.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. You should drop that flash book one day.
Drop that mixtape.
Drop all your... Put everything in there. I would buy it. That would be sick.
I would.
Yeah. I
how long... You know, if you gave it an estimate, how long would you put out a flash sheet?
Like...
The current work that you have now. Or add-on.
Like, how long does it take to make an entire flash sheet? Or how often do I produce them?
Produce them.
nowadays I try to have at least 3 sketched sheets where I have a concept drawn, and then I'll work on them periodically. So it used to be that I would just sketch it, and then I would essentially try to bust it out in a single night. So there were a decent amount of flash sheets that are on my page right now where I did that in a single night, and then I just like didn't really go to bed because I, you know, what tattooers.
How many are you like sitting on right now that haven't been posted?
That haven't been posted?
Yeah, that's a great question.
At least 10.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot. And most of them are like either unfinished or they're only sketches or I didn't like them.
Drop that
like,
book, The Unfinished Works.
Oh, God,
that'd be sick. I mean, I bought some books where they have like the finished product and then you flip all the way to the back and they'd be like, this is what could have happened.
Yeah. Well, even some of my flash sheets that are out, I look at them sometimes and I'm just like, yeah, that could have stayed in the drafts, but
you buy
I don't care, like whatever.
That's how we are. We're always going to be most critical of ourselves, but like I said, to other artists, they'll look at your work and be like, this is amazing. Like this,
yeah.
You don't want to see me behind the scenes, huh?
Yeah. And like one thing I like most about your work is like your ideas are very creative, and it's like, damn, I wish I thought of that, you know, all the time. Like, so
what is your inspiration? Like the lore? Just chaos? I got it.
Truly, one of my flash sheets, you can go on my page and find exactly which one it is. My entire base for that entire sheet was just the concept of lettuce. That was it. Okay. That's it. It's stupid. And I think that in the past year, every tattooer that I know that started out as an artist before they got into this had to change their relationship with art in order to make it in this industry.
Yeah.
And for me...
So what do you mean, like, change your relationship with art? Can you go more into that?
Yeah. Like, when you first start out as an artist, when you're young and before you're a tattooer, you have all this creative expression. For me, it was one of the very few, if not the only, healthy coping mechanism I had to deal with just regular life shit. Like, you know, life's hard, and you got to express yourself in some way, and there are very unhealthy ways to do that, and there are very healthy ways to do that. Art was the only one for me that really worked. And so when it turned into my career... It completely flipped my world upside down. It completely ruined art for me for a long time because you had to turn it in. It was almost one of the sources of my biggest stresses in life because I had to make it in this industry and I also had to make money. I couldn't, you know, be bumming it forever. So you have to learn to love it in a different way. And that took me a hot minute, like a really hot minute.
So people starting off who started off with a mindset like you did at the beginning, what you just did, just grit your teeth and just say, okay, this is how to change it?
I know a lot of tattooers that, you know, they have a bunch of flash and they're just like, man, I just never get to do my flash. I never get to do my flash. And I 100% understand where they're coming from because there's plenty of flash pieces that I have that are probably never going to fucking see skin, and that's okay. But I think that ultimately, not everyone is necessarily going to want the same shit that you make. I understand that a lot of my flash is a hard sell. Some people are not going to want that shit as a tattoo, and that's perfectly fucking fine. I know that some of my designs are a little bit more out there. But I think that me pushing through it and just pumping out stuff, regardless on whether or not it got tattooed, regardless on whether or not it was good or bad art objectively, I just made it because it was what I was inspired by at the time. And that's it.
So
just doing that kind of made you feel like how you first wanted to.
Yeah. So basically, it's like you have to be fine with knowing like not every piece you create will get tattooed.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. Like you'll draw a sick piece, and like you said, everybody be like that's sick, but no one will be willing to get a tattoo, right? But like,
let me put it on your skin. Right.
That's cool. Yeah. But can I get a snake though?
Infinity sign.
That's a great way to look at it. You know, because tattooing, like you said, at the end of the day, we do have to. This is a job for us. Yeah. We have to pay bills. You have to be responsible adults. So you have to grit your teeth and do the tattoo that you might have done 20 times already. Yeah. But it's okay because at the end of the day, like at least you're still this path and you're still creating art, you know, in some way or form. So and then you still got your own art out there too. And who knows, maybe one day someone might pick it down the line, right?
And you'd be surprised, you know. So a decent amount of people have picked up my weird ass.
I was gonna ask you, like, so like how often do you get to tattoo your flash, you would say?
I feel very fortunate. I feel that even though my flash is a little bit more out there and it's a little bit harder to sell than some other people's, I think I've gotten to do it quite often. I will say that a lot of my flash has been done on maybe like a really regular client, maybe a client that just, you know.
Shout out to those regulars who just
Yeah. And some of them are really fucking cool and they're way nicer to me than they fucking need to be, you know. And, you know, you'd be surprised. A lot of them I'll do with my coworkers. I'll just be like, hey, I'll do this for free. Sit down. Like a command. It's, you know, but I.
You're not doing nothing. Like, let me get that leg.
But I'm very lucky. Yeah. Sit down. No back team for you.
Damn. It don't work anyway.
I mean, you don't think Bactine works? No.
It work a little bit.
I think it works. A little bit. I think it's better than nothing.
You just said it because when I tattooed him, he was like, why you even spraying that Bactine?
Yeah, man, it'll work on me, man.
I mean, you sat through it, right?
Yeah. You got to let Bactine sit for a minute.
It don't work. Everybody, I mean, you're not heavy-handed, though, Theo.
I mean, I got some clients who hate Bactine. Like, they just, because they feel the burn, and then they don't feel the
relief. I don't feel the burn. That's a funny thing.
I feel both. I feel the burn, but I feel the relief after, so.
After about the third or fourth time you squirt it, that's when it start burning. It's like, all right, sick of this shit.
I want to go home.
So, talking about flash, though, like, do you feel like tattoo artists these days in general draw enough flash in, like, custom design, stuff like that?
Oh, man. That's so hard to tell because so many of them that I look at absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really do this style, but I really like following, like, Chicano black and gray type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Amanda's influence at that shop definitely had an impact on me, and they pump out flash a lot. I think that a lot of trad tattooers, that's their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. They pump out flash all the fucking time. Like, I feel that people put it out a lot, but that's also... I don't know everybody. I'm only in Atlanta. Yeah. I don't necessarily just go out on the street and hunt for tattooers. Like, I don't really know what people do. Like, it looks from the internet that people put it out a lot. But the internet is a fucking lie.
It's
curated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you never really know. I do think that some people could stand to make more flash because they'll be like, oh, you know, I want to do more of my style.
Right.
Well, then make your style and shove it in people's faces and maybe they'll get it.
That's a great point.
I was going to say, we got two artists, Christian and Emily. They make
the flash all the time.
Artist started getting the last year.
I used to do heavy flashback.
I mean, I always kind of did like a little bit of flash, but, you know, I'm when it comes to that, it depends on how I feel. So I might be drawn for like 2 weeks straight, and then I might
you get in that artist funk
like a month.
No, it happens, man. You get that artist block, and you just like, I don't know what to draw. I don't really feel like cranking out something, and I think that's fine as long as you know you don't let it affect like your whole tattoo career, right? You know. So
artists just don't create that much, and like that's. Fine.
It's
like,
fine as long as your tattoos look good still, I would say.
Just because I make my flash this way does not fucking mean that anybody else has to fucking do it this way. Like, if you don't make that flash that often, but your tattoos are fire, then, like, let me shut the fuck up. I don't care what you do. Like, I don't have any judgment or really any, like, perception of people that don't make flash and be like, and they should do that.
Right. Mm. Yeah. That's the thing in this industry, right? It's like a lot of artists... like to judge other artists, right?
This industry has a lot of fucking meanies.
right. But I think the point you said earlier is a great point for like tattooers who want to do more of a certain style. If you aren't already draw more of that style and put it out there. Like, don't just like, because a lot of times what I see is like artists will just take something off Pinterest and be like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But it's like, why don't you just draw it in your own way and then present it that way, you know, or I don't know. To me, it's just, I feel like you get back what you put out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you put out the right vibes, then you'll get those back.
Yeah. And I mean,
probably get asked every 2 weeks. They say, what do you want to do? And I'll do this. Yeah.
How often do you experience like artist block, you would say? Or?
It happens all the time. I pump it out, but I'm not immune to this shit. Like, it absolutely happens to me. Like, you know, and they're
always. I mean, from the outside in, some people might look at your work and be like,
these designs? How do you get out of your artist block?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know sometimes I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to just pick a subject and I have to draw whatever, even if it come out like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of it. Sometimes I'll just force my way through it. And like I said, I think that mentality... I recently watched some sort of, like, YouTube essay recently. And it had nothing to do with tattooing, but it was talking about creatives and creating art in whatever profession or whatever that they're in. And ultimately, I think that a lot of people, including tattooers, because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, we put so much pressure on ourselves to the point where we're very afraid of making bad art. Whereas when I go through those blocks and I'm making some bullshit... I don't care. It'll come out as bullshit, and whether or not someone sees it is really of no consequence to me, you know? Like, if appointments and our job is for the people, for our clients, flash is for me. So I can do whatever I want, when I want, and nobody's going to tell me when or how or why, whatever.
It should be this way.
Exactly.
Mm. Should have did cabbage instead of lettuce.
Yeah, and, you know, on a personal level outside of the shop, in the time that I've spent in Georgia, you know, I've just been mentally much better. Started going to therapy. I'm in a much healthier space than I've ever been in my life. Like, I've never been this healthy in my whole life, awesome. I think, mentally. It's really good. Nice. And that helps, you know, not being in an absolute spiral all the time helps a lot.
Like you said, this career is definitely really tough on your mental. And if you're not already in a good space, just adding this to it, it can just send you down like an even worse spiral for sure. Yeah. So,
yeah, no, tattooing has pushed me to the brink of a lot of different things. And I think that my lowest lows have been in this career, but my highest hives have also been in this career. So,
beautiful description of tattooing right there.
Yeah, no,
lowest lows and highest highs.
Yep. And I'm passionate about it. And I know that this is probably a controversial thing to say, but at the end of the day, if for some reason I couldn't tattoo anymore, I break my hand, something happens to me, maybe I'm not feeling it anymore, if I need to support myself through another means, I will do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, my dream is to die tattooing. Of course, that's the fucking dream. But I also need to eat, and I need to live, and I need to be happy. And if tattooing doesn't provide that for me at a certain point, I will. Yeah. Like, I'm not.
I mean, that's a great point, because, I mean, just even now, like, right, with the economy being how it is, inflation, and, you know, a lot of tattooers right now are struggling financially. And then, you know, there's like, that side of tattooers who are like, you know, no, like, I'm only going to tattoo, I don't care how much I'm struggling. And then there's tattooers like, well, you know what? I'm struggling, but I'll pick up this second job to take care of my financial needs. And I don't see, you know, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like, you're not making it just by tattooing. Like, you're a disgrace to tattooers or something.
No,
like,
my
like,
motto.
Your
bills got to get paid.
Right. Yeah. Right, right.
I just said my motto is my bills got
to
get paid.
To me, I feel like you can't create your best work if you're so stressed financially, like, if I'm worried about how I'm going to pay my rent at the end of this week, like, how am I going to go in there and, like, kill this tattoo?
We all witnessed people stressed and can't even function. You're like,
Art can definitely come out of tragedy, but I think that there's a huge misconception, and not just the tattoo world, but the art world, that says you need to suffer mentally in order to put your expressions onto paper type of thing. You can be perfectly healthy and not really going through anything at the moment and still create good, if not better, art than what you were doing when you were suffering. I think that a lot of tattooers, it's like with mental health, it's like, you're missing your spark. If you're not absolutely in the worst spiral of your life, creating really depressing ass art, then you're not really doing it. It's like, you need to be happy, you needed to be healthy in order to do it consistently without, you know, art bombing and then leaving for 6 months. That's what I did for most of my life, to be honest with you. But tattooing, I've had to learn how to, like, live with it in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point.
Shops or states, you mean?
State.
I moved states.
Moving states too, that's the whole challenge right there.
There was a certain individual that was, the way that he was talking, it kind of seemed like he was implying, like, I don't think you're gonna make it in Atlanta. So I think that when I came down here, I kind of had this notion that, like, I'm fucked, you know.
What do you mean? We the South. We nice people.
Yeah, you know. You never know, but you know, I'm very, very fucking. I count myself to be very fortunate. Amanda let me into her shop. She has been,
shout out Amanda.
Yeah, she's been super fucking supportive. And she's a really great artist, and she's amazing. I recommend her up and down.
Saints of Sinners, check them out.
But other than that, like, how was your nerves, like, just coming down?
It was a lot, because I don't have any family down here. I don't have anybody, no ties, no nothing. I came down here with no hope.
When did you choose Georgia and Atlanta specifically? Like, out of all the states?
Literally, I did not choose Atlanta. I was in Indiana. I didn't really want to move back home, because if I moved back home, you know, if I wanted to go back up to that area, I would want to go more to the city of Chicago, but it's, you know, it's very expensive there, and I just... Right. I didn't know if I was ready for it. And then me and my partner at the time, we were still together. And we were at that point, we were just like, hey, you know, he was done with college. I was about done with my apprenticeship, kind of. And so we were just like, you know, do we still want to stay together? Let's be realistic about this. You know, I think that we were being pretty mature about it. Just being like, hey, I love you, I care for you, but, like, we got to figure out whether or not this is going to work life path wise. I'm not mm-hmm. going to put my life on hold, and I don't expect him to put his life on hold for either one of us. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, I finished college. I got this job in Atlanta. Will you come with me? Okay. And I was just like, yeah, bye. Indiana can kiss like it. Bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that Indiana was bad, but I just didn't really have any ties to it personally, and I wanted something a little bit different. I think I wanted to start fresh, and that, you know, my relationship with him and everything has grown really strong.
Were you up there long enough to know the difference between the tattoo culture up there versus here?
I think so. I don't even think that the tattoo culture is different. I just think that the people are different. It's, okay. You know, I've noticed, I didn't really realize this until recently. There's a lot of, like, Euro folks that, like, have no idea how large America is. Like, Indiana, sure, it's not the farthest from here. I guess Cali and shit like that would be farther from here. But, like, the culture and the people is pretty different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's still America. I'm not going to act like I'm in a foreign country. But it's, you know, just people are different.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, I met a lot of really, really good people there. I just mm-hmm. think that, you know.
Each state is kind of like their own little country, low-key.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met great people there, but I just didn't necessarily have any ties to that place. And so when he said, do you want to come with me? I was like, you know what? Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how'd you, like, build up your clientele, moving to a whole new state, like, starting out? And
same thing that every other tattooer does, is just you hustle and you fucking pray.
Taking all the walk-ins.
Oh, yeah. My first day with Amanda, I hadn't even unpacked my stuff to fill up my station yet, and I immediately took a walk-in within, like, less than 2 hours. Nice. I remember because Jesse was there, and we were talking about stuff, and he was just like, what, already? And I was just like, the fuck else am I gonna do? Fucking take this shit. Like, what else am I gonna do?
Right.
So I just, you know, I just tried to do that, and I'm very fortunate. I have a lot of really, really kind clients, too, that are regulars that come to me all the fucking time when they totally don't have to. You know, I think I'm very lucky. I do think that it has slowed down significantly because I remember that even when I was an apprentice, that was during COVID. People were going crazy, getting tattooed.
Right.
Now, with people having no money, I kind of saw both sides of it in a way.
It's where like the extreme of both sides.
Yeah.
The truth lies somewhere in between, but we just haven't gotten back to that yet, I would say.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Financially, it has been really rough. And there have been times in the last, you know, few months or whatever where I considered, like, you know, I don't want to leave tattooing, but, like, what else am I going to do? You know, I'm very fortunate that me and my partner work together a lot. We're a very, you know, we do what we need to do to get by, but it's been rough. And that's coming from someone that, like I said, I would consider myself to be very lucky. 2023 was probably my most successful year in how much I tattooed and my rates and everything like that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it was still rough because everything is so, you know, I think that I make a decent living, but because of how expensive everything is nowadays, a decent living ain't enough sometimes, you know? Yeah, just for basic living necessities. And on top of that, you know this as a shop owner, supplies and everything, they may be a tax write-off, but it's still an expense that you don't have in your pocket. That's for money and food and your family or whatever. So it's just, you know, it's been bad. I'm not going to lie. I'm doing really well, but it's been really tough. I won't lie.
No, I mean, but that's...
I'm falling down. Swing again.
Yeah, but that's honest. You know what I mean? Because a lot of artists are going through that or worse, you know? So it's... But it's... I think it's good to hear that someone out there who might be going through that same thing or maybe worse than hearing, like, okay, like, she's going through, but she's still good. You know, she's still fighting, still going through it. So I say, like, don't give up on tattooing. Like, regardless of how bad it gets, like, even if you got to pick up a full-time job somewhere else, like, never fully give up tattooing, even if it's tattooing on weekends or what. Cause
at the end of the day, it'll pick back
up. It'll pay off in the long run.
I think this is a lot of tattoo artists' first, like, really, like, down moment.
Yeah.
Because just how...
Or a different generation you were seeing? You would say?
As far as my... Because I've only been tattooing about 12 to 13 years now.
Only 12 to 13.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, but at the same time, it felt like it went by so quick, so...
Because I can definitely say me tattooing for 3 years. People who
you
have
came in at the same time as her, so
so
oh, people, no shit, really?
Yeah.
So
I've been in for like 7.
So people who have been tattooing for 10 years, they're not even bad in the eye. They're kind of like, but like
it's,
people
it's,
3 to 5, we're like, oh shit, like what is this?
it's what happened? Weird for me, like to answer, because when I came in, like I struggled, but it was more so like a struggle. I don't know if it was I struggled because of the economy. I think I just struggled because I wasn't good enough yet. And, you know, I wasn't at a good shop. So it's just like I had to slowly build my skills up and build my clientele up. And it took years to get that. So it's like so now, even though it's slower, but it's nowhere near as bad as how it was back then, because back then it was like,
it was all about skill.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I had, you know, starting from ground zero, and I didn't have, like, you know, a good apprenticeship, so it was like I had to really, like, go out there and learn, like, and then, you know, this is back then, like, 2012, 2011, like, damn. Yeah, like, YouTube wasn't, like, you had stuff on YouTube, but it wasn't like how it is now, where you could just, like, I can go on YouTube and see a whole color realism seminar for free.
Different.
It was like, you know, it was maybe, like, comparison. Two guys making videos, and it weren't the best videos, you know, so it was like I had to really go out there, go to conventions, get tattooed by artists, go to whatever little seminars, because, like, now there's so many seminars, too, and, like, back then it wasn't as much seminars, at least not local, you know, you have to kind of really travel to find them.
Well, now that you say that now, I definitely see, kind of like you said, back then for you, like, everybody we had on this podcast, either they was trying to find their path of style or skill, so I can see that.
Yeah, so, to me, I would say 3 years in, you're doing way better than I was doing 3 years in.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so, like, if you feel like, like I said, do not give up, like, at this point, because it's just, like, do whatever you got to do to make the bill, get the bills paid, but you got too much talent and skill to give up on tattooing. Yeah, so just ride it through, and, like I said, you're at the lows right now as far as the whole industry, but once the highs come back, it's going to be worth it if you stick it through. And that's a message for all tattooers, too. Like, just, if you really love it, stick through it. It's going to pay off in the long run. But, you know, do it. Like I said, don't feel less than another artist if you got to go get another job. You got to go do Uber or Instacart, whatever, man. Just
shit. You brought up a really good point, too. I think it's both clients and prospective tattooers that are coming into this industry. Like, I think that people really underestimate and don't consider that when you first start out tattooing, regardless of how talented you are going to suck for a little bit.
Right,
that's just,
right.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth of it. Like, even if you do everything right, you know, you go on fake skin longer than, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, and, like, sure, I should have definitely been more responsible when I was an apprentice of, you know, for a multitude of different things. But ultimately, even if I had done that, most people, when they get on skin, you know, they're not very good. And that's just, it's time. The biggest thing is fucking time. Yeah, and I think that if you're not patient, this industry will eat you alive for sure.
100%. 100%.
A lot of people don't know what. My first 6 months, I thought about quitting twice.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I
told you this. I already told you.
I mean, I don't know if you told me you thought about quitting.
Yeah. Like, that is.
I couldn't see you.
The mandala one? Yeah. If you remember that one?
I'm trying to remember what.
With the stomach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm fucking out of this.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be throwing them to the fire, man. Crazy shit. But you got to learn some way, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
There's only one tattoo I was just kind of like, is this for me?
Yeah.
That fucking. What was it, Valkyrie? I did. It's like, oh, dang. I fucked that up.
What's worse is that even your worst work as a tattooer, at least in my experience, isn't going to be everybody, you still put your 100% into it.
Put
100% into the tattoos that maybe didn't come out that great. I put in just as much effort, if not more. I prepared as much as I could. I tried my fucking best. Like, there wasn't some lack of effort or responsibility on my end. But sometimes your work is not going to... And, you know, a lot of the times, too, is that you're being more critical on yourself than other people.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's about the client. If they're happy and if they're requesting some weird shit, that's
right.
Your life. It's your body, you know, all that.
Yeah. But, you got to... I think what messes us up now is social media, because it being so prevalent and you seeing, like, these elite artists post their best work, and, you know, it's like, oh, these artists never miss. They never miss. Like, they do miss. You just don't see it, you know, and then you don't know, like, how many misses they had to get there. So it's like artists, you know, starting out, they get so hard on themselves because, oh, it's not coming out looking like Steve Butcher's portrait. I mean, Steve Butcher's got years and years.
What, he like 20-plus years?
Right, so it's like, why are you comparing yourself to that at your level, you know? So just of anything, like I said, you can put your 100%, be as prepared as you can, but you're going to mess up. Right? You know, you can go in, like, all right, I'm kill all these lines, and you will have that one just little wobble right there, like, oh, like, you know, and it is what it is.
Every week.
The problem with social media and tattooing, too, is so totally not exclusive to tattooing. I think that that problem pervades in pretty much any social media setting. Like, even if you are totally not a tattooer and you're just comparing, I don't know, fucking something stupid like a selfie. And you're comparing yourself to, like, the Kardashians or something.
Absolutely.
Instagram is a lie.
Yes. It definitely
Everything is curated. And you can't compare yourself. I mean, I sometimes go on this damn app, and it is seriously on some Black Mirror shit. I think it is such an odd way to communicate with other people. I think the text and photos take out a lot of nuance. Everybody is fighting for your attention, whether or not to sell you something or to feel like they're being seen. I'm 24. I think that a lot of people in my generation, because we, you know, when I was little, believe it or not, we had VCRs and shit. Like, you know, I didn't grow up with an iPhone in my hand, but we did get it at a relatively young age, you know?
Hey, I had to sink in for a minute. Wait a minute.
But, you know, it's like when you get that from a young age, I think that when you, when you're young and you...
It's like you're programmed.
Yeah, you perceive the internet at such a young age, you have this weird notion that in order to be seen, validated, and to have an existence, period, you need to post. You need to show people what you're doing.
Right.
Recently on social media, you know, I'll post things like my dog sometimes. Sometimes I'll post a selfie. Usually nowadays, I do not share personal information on my Instagram because tattooing.
Yeah.
People don't need to fucking know what I'm doing unless, because if I want them to know, I'll fucking text them and they'll know. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole social media problem in tattooing is a problem that I think is never really going to get resolved because it's a problem at large with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody will compare themselves to the stupid app, and every single person that posts on Instagram knows, again, that this is curated. You're picking the best of the best of the best. You're not seeing reality a lot of the times. And sure, I still edit my photos in a way where I feel that it looks closest to what it looked like when I was doing it in person, because you know, cameras wash out tattoos. But ultimately, you really shouldn't, and I know that everybody knows this, but it's harder in practice, don't compare yourself to other people, because it's really, it's a problem that even outside of tattooing will destroy you. It's not worth it. I think that genuinely, I don't mean this as a criticism, but some people need to go outside and touch some grass.
No, say that shit.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, and it's sad because so many people in my generation, like I said, I feel are so, not everyone, of course, but many people I feel.
It's a good bunch.
You know, your existence is not valid if you're not posting on the gram and if it's not fire. And it's that's bullshit. Then, you're human.
A lot of people don't know.
Then, like, you get affected by the likes and how many views and likes you get. And, like, that doesn't matter. Like,
honestly, don't care.
The app controls who sees your stuff. So
people don't know. I didn't start using social media until, like, 2019.
Yeah.
I'm 34.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Are you really
34?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He needs 60.
Yeah, we all in the 30s right now.
We all old.
You're just staring at the void today, huh? It's okay.
But all right, so with all that being said, like, do you feel like right now the tattoo industry is oversaturated with artists, or do you feel like it's just bad time right now for the whole country and world? And
it's hard to say because it's hard to say because I do think that there obviously are more tattoos than there were in, like, say, the 80s or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that some people have a skewed version of how many tattooers there actually are professional, because everybody on Instagram is fighting tooth and nail for your attention. You know, sponsored posts, posting their tattoos, posting their flash. I think that it feels like there's more tattooers than there actually are, just because everybody's fucking trying to choke you out on this app, trying to tell you, I'm here, pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ultimately as well, if we're talking about math, if we're talking about the ratio, the amount of people that get tattooed nowadays are so much more than it used to be.
Yes.
I don't think the rise in tattooers... I think it meets in terms of ratio. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yes, there's a, you know, a lot more tattooers, but then there's this many more people that are trying to get tatted versus, like, the 80s and 90s. So, like, I think while, yes, there are a lot more tattooers and some of them probably shouldn't be professional quite yet, I think it's a little bit skewed. And I think that some people, their minds are playing a little bit of a trick on them where they're just like, oh, there's too many tattooers, but it's just because... If your only view of this is your damn phone, then of course you think that there's too many tattooers, but that's because it's a concentrated area where tattooers go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know?
People also... Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, I feel like a lot of artists feel like that because you can access tattoo machines from, like, Amazon. So in their mind, they're like, oh, anybody's just buying these shits. Like, I mean, they might be, but
that's a great point.
Motherfuckers been sticking poking, like, even in the 80s. Like,
and even then, like, if you're a professional at a certain level, why... like you should worried? Be. Yeah, you should be concerned of someone yeah. just buying a machine. Like they're not gonna be touching you and what your skill level is. So like you guys are carrying to
cover it up.
People. Right, right. You might get hold a cover up out of it. Yeah. But and also that like
hold on.
Wait. Wait, no.
Goddamn, wait.
Shout out to the best cover up artist.
Right. Nah. He takes all cover ups, no matter size.
Oh, shit.
Whatever you gotta do, you can do it.
What kind of business model? Free business. Holy shit.
But yeah, and like even then, like this is discussed on one of our last episodes with Dave. That even though there's more artists, like you said, and more clients, but also there's more niches and styles. So it's like,
yeah,
this artist, there may be like 1,000 new artists in this area, but half of them might specialize only like fine line or something. If you do traditional or realism, like, why are you?
The major clients.
Yeah, they're not going to come to you. Communities, they yeah. really do. Like, even in terms of like outside of tattooing, like I know that a lot of queer folks like to go to a lot of queer artists. I know
right.
I have a lot of Asian clients that are just like, I haven't seen your work yet, but you're Asian, so slide in. You know what I mean? Like, right. it's mm-hmm. it's true. Like, you find
you
want to
be comfortable with.
Yeah,
that's usually how it happens.
Yeah. So it's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's representation in all aspects, like styles and artists and everything. So.
But one thing I will say, now that most tattoo artists have niche, and I kind of like how you said about the app, the people who do have the niche, a lot of people think they only do that, but they don't tell. But other tattoo artists don't know they do everything else.
Right, right.
Now, even in the tattoo community, I'd be like, oh, you still only do traditional? No, I just did like a realistic crow the other day.
Right.
I've never seen you post it.
Do you bust out like pretty much like what would you turn down as from a walk-in? Like, there you're like, all right, I can't do this, or I don't feel comfortable doing this.
Well, obviously, get this out of the way, ginormous pieces that would take me hours to draw when they're coming in at 7 p.m. Let's just get that shit out
of the way. But would you, like, set them as an appointment at a later time?
Depending, I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not going to lie, you know, this is a service industry, and I have very little patience as a person, and I have the worst resting bitch face. I understand that I can be a little bit daunting sometimes, but, you know, we have to sit down as tattooers sometimes, and while it is frustrating that clients can be a certain way, a lot of them don't necessarily mean to be that way. But if they're not familiar with the industry, they're not familiar with tattoo etiquettes, I'm not going to get upset with them. Not knowing stuff to me is not a crime. It's really only if they're being super disrespectful, if they're being super rude, and even then, as long as they're not like really in there, I'll try to give them at least one or two chances to shape up. And usually once you show them that warmness, I'm not even going to say warmness, because I'm not really a warm kind of person. Yeah, it's more so
it's
that like
respect, right?
Yeah, when you show them just an ounce of respect, sometimes they'll shape up and they'll be like, oh. And I think for some clients, they've had bad experiences with tattooers, so they're a little bit traumatized.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not your fault as a tattooer, and it's not your job to fix it, but as a person, I think that it's important to remember that, hey, this is someone's mom, this is someone's brother. If my mom or dad walked into a shop and they were being grumpy about something, I still wouldn't want them to be treated a certain type of way. So I don't tolerate when someone is being rude. I'll just kind of go blank face and just let them go off. But I do try to work with different people. There are some very specific styles that I don't take. I can't fucking do them. There's microrealism. I don't really like doing watercolor either. I feel like anytime I've really done watercolor, it just didn't really look like watercolor, and it just wasn't, you know, it's a very specific thing, and it's also not something that people ask for that often, so I haven't really dedicated time to learn it, because if only one person out of the year is going to ask me for it, is it really worth it to spend hours and hours preparing and studying and drawing for this one tattoo? So there are some specific things, or even in a shop setting, you guys know, sometimes Christian does script. If someone needs script, you're probably going to be like, hey, he does it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, there's people at the shop that I'm at currently. They love anime tattoos. Well, guess what? I don't want to do that shit. So guess what? There's someone right next to me that literally does it 10 times better. They can get you in quicker and it'll just be a better process. Right. You know, like.
Y'all can talk about it.
Yeah. You got to be realistic. Like, especially when you're first beginning, I do believe a lot of old heads, when they say you should take everything, I do believe that you should at least give it a shot. You never know what might stick. You might not like that style, and then you do it, and you're just like, you know what? I want to further this. I think it's important to do that just to even experiment. But I do think you need to be realistic, because ultimately, it's not about your ego or your career. This is going to go on someone. If you don't think that it's going to come out fire, don't fucking do it. You know what I mean? Like, you know?
Absolutely,
And if you do experiment, small, you know what I mean? Like, if for some reason in that case I really wanted to start doing watercolor, you start small, you know what I mean? Don't take on that giant fucking thigh piece. Like, for me, it's just being realistic in looking out for my client, because ultimately nowadays we have a lot of good laser options. Like, a tattoo is not necessarily permanent nowadays if you have money. So I don't want to fuck up on someone and then essentially, in, you know, today's aspect, just give them a giant bill. That's right. What you've done is you've given that person a giant bill, because they either have to cover it, or they have to laser it, or they're just gonna have to live with it because they ain't got money like that. And I just don't want to do that to someone.
Right.
Money's really tight right now, and I am not trying to fuck with someone's money.
It's a good old saying I always tell them when I talk to them in the lobby. I don't see why you're mad at me. You still got your money in your pocket.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, there are a lot of clients that will get really upset that will say, like, oh, well, it's my body and I want this. And I agree. You're right. I'm never going to do anything on you where you're just like, no, I don't want to do that. But I am also a person, and I reserve the right to not do things if I don't want to. If you have autonomy, so do I. So if I'm turning you down, it's not that I'm doing anything to you. I'm doing the opposite. I'm stepping back. You know?
Yeah. And I know what you're talking about. I have those clients that it's a few times.
Try to force you to do it.
Yeah, not even that. They'll
look at you like a robot.
You don't want to make this money? And it's like, you ain't trying to make no money, man. It's like,
or I hate when they're just like, oh, so you can't do it. And I'm just like, that's what I just told you. Why you guys saying
like
that?
Like, I literally just said that to you.
If I do this, it's going to be messed up.
Theo saw me talk to a client for 15 minutes one time. Why she should go to Chris. I told him, I'm like chicken Alfredo. I'm basic as shit with this goddamn letter. Like, you take this.
Right.
Yeah.
Then she was like, she ended up finally, well, she didn't get the tattoo, but she wanted to go to Christian, but she was just like afraid to like hurt your feelings. And the whole time, like, I wanted you to do this. I don't care. It's like, well, you know, I really feel more comfortable. Like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like,
this is permanent. Yeah. Like, come on.
But, exactly. So that's great. Like, hustle as much as you can, but don't like get into some stuff that you know you don't have no business
being stupid about you know. I think that people in my generation every once in a while will take things a little bit too literally, where they're just like, you know, they hear these old heads being like, take everything, and they're just like, okay. And it's like, you know, like, I do think that, again, it's good to take everything, but it's in moderation, it's in small doses. You have to be smart about it. You can't just fucking take every back piece that walks in that wants it for $200. Like, you can't. That's not smart. Like, you have to be mature. And, you know, I think I started tattooing when I probably wasn't mature enough to be in this industry. And I think I'm very lucky with the circumstances I got, and I ended up making it. But if I had a choice, I probably would have started tattooing maybe a little bit later in life when I had a you know, just smarter choices in my arsenal.
I mean, that's started at 30.
Interesting perspective, because there's a lot of people feel like if you don't start when you're young, it's like, oh, it's too late.
Of the best tattooers, someone that I knew back in Indiana, dude didn't start until like his 30s. He's really fucking good. It doesn't matter. And honestly, I think if anything, sometimes the older folks that get into tattooing, they're a little bit smarter, because they already have a mortgage and a child. Like, they know what it's like to have responsibility. They know that this is a job. They're less likely to be mistreated. They'll go to a shop that doesn't kiss their ass, but respects them enough and allows them to grow. Like, I think that sometimes being older will give you a better head on your shoulders. Like,
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, like,
everybody heard my opinion on that.
I think I was like 25 when I came here.
Both of y'all had you started in your 30s and you were 25, but you both were like ahead of your time. You know, so you had a good head on your shoulders.
It was already like
serious.
Been living on my own. Like,
it wasn't
I'm going to do these tattoos. I wasn't even old to drink when I started this shit. Like, for my first year, I think that my second mentor took me out for my first real legal drink. Like, that's how young I was. And I think that, you know, just that time period, I can't hate myself for it. Ultimately, you know, you have to give yourself a little bit of grace. I was literally 19, 20. It's okay.
Okay.
You know, everybody's stupid. Right,
you make bad decisions, man.
That's the facts of what it is. And it's sad, but whatever. And I think that while I'm glad it worked out, I think that it might have been in my best interest to maybe just wait a little bit, understand myself a little bit more, understand this industry a little bit better, been smarter about the choices I made. Like, I think... You know, you're never too old to start unless you got arthritis to the point where you can't even move your hand. Yeah, then like whatever, fucking start it. Who gives a shit? Like,
that's a great point though, because like I feel like a lot of times, you know, real young people like 19, 20, 21 will come in the shop, want to get an apprenticeship, and they, you know, but they're like not in the right place in their life.
And they haven't even experienced a whole lot of
It's
not that they haven't experienced shitty things or trauma or life. Mm-hmm. Of course they've experienced life, but
you just got out of high school.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
it's like having worked a regular job yet, and, or just they're not in a good space financially, you know. So it's like you're already in a kind of like a struggle right now, and this industry is just only going to like
make it worse.
Yeah, so it's like don't put yourself in this position when you don't have to yet. Like tattooing is not going anywhere. Like
exactly, yeah. That's the thing. Is like the industry isn't going to pick up its legs and like its little skirt and then like run away from you really quick, right. Like a cartoon. Like you got like I've had a few people in my chair where I was just like, you know, you've got the energy of a tattooer. If you don't mind me asking, did you ever consider it? Not because I'm trying to foster like apprentices or something, but some people just have that energy, and I'm just like, you know, I feel like this might be the thing for you. And they're just like, they're like 30, which. I'm sorry, 30 is not old. And they'll be like, I can't do it. I'm past my prime. And I'm just like, bitch, why are you acting like you're dying? Like, you are not dying. Like, you can still do things. You can be successful. And if anything, you might be more responsible than the fucking stupid 19-year-old that comes in and is just like, what up, dude? I'm here to tat.
Right,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I don't know. Like, do what you want to do. Yeah. It doesn't matter what age
you are. Never too late. Never too late. You recently tattooed at the Atlanta Tattoo Convention for the first time, right?
Wasn't my first time, but I did do it completely alone. Anybody that was there with me was either getting tattooed, or I asked a few of the front desk members at St. Sinners to help me. I said, I'll tip you out. I'll give you a free tattoo. Just give them payment or compensation of some sort for their time. And they were both all of them were kind of connected to the industry, so I think that they were just eager to go in general.
Okay.
Yeah, I was completely alone.
How was
that solo experience for you?
Well, I was just like, I was in the group chat like, hey, y'all want to do this convention early on? And a couple of them were just like, yeah. And then we got closer to it and they were just like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And I was just like, God fucking damn it, you guys. We had this whole thing planned, but like, life's hard, man. I get it. Yeah. And I was completely okay with buying my own booth and having my own space and then just earning 100% of that income that came in. So it was worth it.
Okay.
You did have a good spot, though.
Yeah.
I went in there, and if you remember, it was in a different building last year, and that was my only experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I went in, and they were just like, oh, this is your booth number, and then the lady that was, like, at the registration booth was just like, oh, well, you're not supposed to be there anymore, and I was just like, well, okay, fine, whatever. I didn't care. I was just like, just stick me somewhere then. I got paid for this shit. And she was just like, oh, well, you can pick out of these booths, and I was just like, I get to pick, and so I was just like that one right there, and it was so open. Yeah. A ton of people were coming in through that entrance. I was very fucking lucky.
What's crazy, we had an empty booth in front of us downstairs.
Yeah,
and the other guy, he took that one.
Tucked away in like the cafeteria corner. I was pretty just much. Like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
as long as we can hear the stage.
Had a goddamn big ass pillar in between us. And like,
made sure.
Hopefully, they moved to back to the first building. That was way better.
Yeah,
but
was.
So, like, do you feel you work with quite a bit of conventions then? Like
last year I did the Atlanta Villain Arts, I did the Denver Villain Arts, I did Ink Mania in St. Petersburg, Florida, and then I did a couple of guest spots. There's a lady that owns Tramp Art Studios in Savannah in Denver. She was very kind. She let me guest spot at both of them. She's a very, very nice person.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, and I guest spotted for her. She's really cool.
Like, what benefits do you see from, like, tattooing and conventions? Do you feel like there are any benefits, or, like...
I'm gonna be honest with you. My opinion has changed in the last year or so after going to them. I think that you should go to them if you've never experienced them. You should experience it just like anything in life. Just go do it. You're not gonna regret going. You're gonna regret not going. So just go do that shit. I will say that I think that in terms of learning experience, what people seek out at conventions, I think is a little bit more suited to guest spots. And Amanda told me that shit, and I didn't listen. But at the end of the day, you know, I still think it was good for me to go to conventions because Amanda's seasoned. She's been around. I haven't. So I think it was good for me to go and experience those conventions for sure, just not having the same amount of experience as her. But she's definitely right. I think that guest spots allow for much closer proximity. You're not screaming at one another. There's no there's no competitions going on. You can literally just watch someone tattoo. And I think it's a lot. If you're looking for like, oh, I want to watch this person tattoo and learn from this person, don't do a convention. Go to a fucking guest spot. I think that it's just way more
intimate.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, conventions are great, but they're pure chaos, dude. Yeah. Like, you're gonna disassociate for half of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a lot. And I'm not saying that I don't want to do more. I'm signed up for the Puerto Rico convention in December.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like, you know. Yeah, like, you know, it's, I think it's good to go. I think it allows you to travel without necessarily having to pay the full price all the time. I think it's a really good thing to do. But I think if you're trying to do the whole learning experience thing, do a guest spot. And it's also cheaper because you usually don't have to pay for a booth. You just speak to that person and then travel costs.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it, you know.
It's too damn chaotic. I like them, but anybody with social anxiety, that is your nightmare. You will cry. Like, you will cry, scream, and punch in the air when you get home. Like, you're going to be like, why did I say that? That's so embarrassing. Like, don't. I want to trip about it.
You had some embarrassing, like, moments with clients or walk-ups?
Oh, you know what? I have this one that I was... So, I would argue that this wasn't really my fault. So, you know how in conventions, it's loud as fuck over the speaker, and it's deep-fried, like the Charlie Brown voice, where it's just like... into the fucking mic for, like, the whole day. We were at Ink Media in St. Petersburg, and these two dudes came up. I didn't know they were tattooers, so I was just trying to be nice, being like, hey, this is our business cards, and, like, you know, if you want something, just let me know. Not knowing that they were tattooers, I didn't know. I didn't notice the badge until after.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know, and I wasn't trying to treat them any different, and so I just, you know, and then because it was so loud and because they were speaking to each other pretty quietly, I wasn't trying to listen to what they were saying, but it sounded like Spanish, and so I was just like, oh, well, we got Spanish speakers right here. We got a Colombian lady. We got Mexican folks. Like, they can help you. You know what I mean? Like, we got you. They leave their business cards, and I was just like, oh, fuck, they were tattooers. I didn't even, whatever, fine. I look at their business cards. I follow them on Instagram. They're fucking Brazilian, so they weren't speaking Spanish. So I just offered Spanish to these fucking Portuguese-speaking dudes. And they walked away looking at me funny, and I was just like, oh, well, you know, it's an overstimulating environment. It definitely was not personal. Who gives a shit? So they walked away.
Say, if you ever watch this, talking about you.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be genuinely kind. I it sounded like odd Spanish, but you know how like different Spanish dialects
you
can
hear it fully, you know.
Yeah, it's just the speakers were so deep fried that day for some reason, and Spanish dialects can be so different depending on where your Spanish is coming from. So I was trying to be kind, but the look that they gave me just like I was like I just thought that they were just maybe, I don't know, overstimulated or something, but no, I was being stupid.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of it. If I'm being real, how they approached it was kind of dickish. You could just been like, I mean, if you're going to come to a table and look and then you're talking to them, I'll at least like talk back, say, hey, hello, you know, I'm tattooers too, you know, just checking out your work. You don't have to be like all secretive, like, you know, like.
I don't think they wanted to talk to me. That's fine. You don't have to do anything, but yeah, I don't know. It was out of genuine, and I don't think it was really that stupid because I just genuinely couldn't hear.
If that's your worst mess up, then you're doing good.
Oh, it's not my worst mess up. I'm trying to. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't really know.
We didn't see a lot of conventions. We didn't see somebody have a seizure next to us.
Did they end up okay?
Yeah, paramedics came. I tried to help, but. I mean, I wasn't the most trained.
That man said.
They're like on the ground, and you're just like,
Theo said,
you
want a tattoo? Somebody have a seizure. Theo said. Get some water.
I mean, look, it might need some water or something. But thankfully, the other artists were a little bit more seasoned than that.
And I'm getting cussed out by Lartez. I was like, is he serious? You turn around. Like,
yes. They're supposed to like support their head, right? Like they're supposed to support their head so they don't like hurt themselves. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there. Didn't a fight break out at one convention?
Multiple. Yeah.
It happened in Villain Arts in 2018.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of fights, like close. Just never been a part of one, thankfully, but. A lot of
that day happens.
But yeah, so conventions can be crazy, but like I said, at least do one just to get out your system and be like, all right, I did that. But
if you don't want to travel, do a local one. Like just
smart.
Yeah.
But okay. So all right, one last like deep question, then we'll do something fun. But all right. But so do you think there's like a disconnect from like your tattoo generation, the newer generation, and like the old heads, the older generation?
What's really odd about that too is that I think that there are some people that consider themselves to be old heads that I don't think are fucking old heads in the slightest, but they carry themselves like they are, and so they carry themselves with this very high importance and this high authority. And I think that especially because I started out so young, you look at these people and you see them as you idolize them. You see them as like this god that's gonna like teach you how to become a god. Like it's, you know, it's this like intense thing. I think that if anything, like, yes, some people are, you know, maybe disconnected from the older generation, but I don't really know that older generation is talking to young tattooers that much. Because, like, you know, like I said, a lot of those people that consider themselves to be old heads I don't really think are old heads. They can be seasoned and well experienced, but old heads, if you were born in the 80s, I don't think you're an old head. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? Like you're someone who's very seasoned. You've had over a decade of experience, very experienced. I wouldn't call you an old head. You're not old.
I wouldn't call myself an old head either. I'm kind of like that weird in between stage, it's like I'm not newer, but I'm not older either. But I'm kind of seen both. So
a veteran.
Yeah. And I like to stay connected to both. I feel like, me personally, I feel like, you know, the industry, from what I've been in just the 12 years, has changed crazy amount. Like, I came in, like, before digital art, before...
right before the iPad.
Yeah, right before, like...
Rotaries wasn't as popular.
Yeah, you just had, like, three rotaries. You had, like, Cheyenne, Neotet, and Bishop. But this is, like, not the pens, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Cartridges weren't, like, a thing. And, like, you still use autoclaves and steel tubes. Yeah. So, going from that to like where we're at now, it was like, wow, this is a complete like different industry. So I feel like if you don't stay in touch with what's going on, what's changing, like you can get left behind so easy. So like for me, no matter like how many years I get in, like I still want to see what new artists are doing, what new techniques are going on, what new like technology advances are going on. So because it's so easy to be like, well, this is how I did it, and it worked for me back then, so I'm just going to stick to what I know, you know? So, but, no, I definitely think that's a great point. They said, like, a lot of older heads or artists who perceive themselves as older heads.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're really old heads like that.
Yeah.
I feel like this. If you're in your 30s or late 30s, you're not an old head.
Yeah, nah. It's one of those. It's, like you said, I think...
I don't even think artists they want to be called an old head. If you say that, they're like, I'm 34.
Let's say veteran tattoo or veteran. That's better. but yeah, it's... I
think some people from that generation where they're, again, not old heads, they're actually very young, where they'll, because of the way that they started out where things were maybe a little bit tougher, they had to use the steel tubes, they had to do a little bit more, you know, maybe they weren't using Procreate as much. I think that there is sometimes a little bit of bitterness towards the younger generation that I think can be a little bit misguided and misdirected. Like, oh, back in the day we had to do this, so the fact that you're not doing that means that you're bad at what you do. And I don't think that that's true, but I also don't necessarily think that they're doing it personally because they don't like what they see on their screen. I just think that... rightfully so, they're a little bit, you know, upset that what they had to do was maybe a little bit more difficult in some way or another. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying...
A little bit of jealousy.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's... You know, you're a human, you're going to experience those things. Right. I just think that some people misdirect their feelings a little bit, and because the internet is the internet, people talk shit like crazy instead of just minding their own business. And, you know, I think that a lot of really seasoned artists have been some of the most chill people that I've ever met, because they're seasoned, they don't necessarily feel like they have to prove themselves anymore. Right. They know what they're doing. I truly do not necessarily... Nowadays, I think that maybe if you would ask me a few years ago, it would have been different. I don't think that the generational beef should even be a thing. I think that we all have the same goal.
Right.
We all want to be good tattooers. We all want to find new ways to make our jobs easier. We want this industry to expand, maybe not to certain people, but we want this to be a good thing. Like, I don't think that people from different generations should beef, especially since a lot of the people that I'm close with in terms of tattooing, they'll be all over the place. 7 years experience, 2 years experience, 10 years experience. I don't think that there's any particular generation that holds a certain attitude. I just think that sometimes in the tattoo world, when you're in a couple of different shops, that is your world, and then you perceive that to be everything. But tattooing is so big, and there's so many thousands of people in this industry. I think that some of this conversation sometimes can be a little overgeneralized because people want to beef with the generational. So, like, even outside of tattooing, again, people do that. Like, oh, Gen Z and millennials and shit. And I understand that there are trends within generations for sure. And each generation has their own problems. But ultimately, I don't think there's as much beef, or at least there shouldn't be as much
beef. We're all fighting the same battle at the end of the day. Exactly. So, yeah, it's, we all can better each other. So,
yeah.
No, I definitely agree. It's well said. So, well, one more thing. Like, do you feel like there should be, like, a little bit of gatekeeping still? Or you feel like not just, like, blow the doors off it? Make, like, just who cares?
I don't think I think that you need to be smart about who you give this information to.
Right.
I don't think that it means that, like, if someone is really trying and putting their effort in, they're drawing flash, they're showing up, they're doing everything that they're supposed to, I don't think you should punish that. But I don't think that you should also just give it to people that just don't really work for it, that don't really have a passion for this, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Like, I agree 100%.
I don't know. Like, if it's information that will help them, then don't fucking gatekeep it. If anything, again, like, I understand that this is a craft and we hold it dear, but this is going on someone, especially if it's going on skin. Don't fucking gatekeep that shit. Help that person because someone's got to fucking wear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that some people, when they take on, like, apprentices in a certain type of way, I don't know that I'm ever going to have an apprentice, you know, in the future when that's even, like, possible for me. But I think that if I did, I wouldn't want to gatekeep information, but I would want them to come out a stronger tattooer than myself. So I would need to put them through certain things to make sure that they're good, but I'm not going to like withhold information. Like the goal, if I were to ever become a mentor, would that my apprentice would be fucking better than me once they're in their peak. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, that's what you want for like kids too, is like you want them to have a better life, to have more money, to have whatever. Like I think that that's how it should be. But I think that a lot of mentors, they have, you know, things going on in their own life, and sometimes an apprentice is an easy punching bag. Sometimes an apprentice is an easy way to get your fifis out, you know. Sometimes it's just because they're not doing things the exact way that you want them. Whatever the reason may be, like, gatekeeping information, I think, is just a little unproductive. But I also understand that sometimes, I wouldn't even call it gatekeeping. I would just say, like, selectively sharing that information with people that deserve it is all.
That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, no, great way to put it. All right, so let's do this last little segment. It's something new. So we're just gonna do like I'm gonna put like a 2-minute timer, and then we're gonna just run like I'm gonna run like rapid fire questions at you, like kind of like simple yes or no or this or that kind of answers.
Like balloon.
Yeah, right. So just, you know, and they're all kind of like tattoo related in some sort. So it's not just going to be like random, like, what's your favorite color or something? I don't know. But,
black.
Right. but yeah, so, you know, let's try it out and see how it goes, right? All right. Let's get started. Coils or rotaries? Oh, you think it's too long. Come on now.
Rotaries, because I don't use coils. I don't have any coils.
Oh, man. You're not loyal to the coil. That's okay. But that's cool. All right. That's interesting.
I was never taught too much about them. So I just...
That's understandable. New artists.
Did what I needed to do to survive in the industry. And sometimes getting a coil was just a little bit too much work and money.
Yeah. No, that's true. Black and gray or color?
Oh, I hate to say this, but recently black and gray. I don't know.
What I was gonna say if our page don't say that, I'm like yo, like you never would have shot me if you said color. I'm like, what?
She did
color realism. Right?
I drew exclusively in color almost exclusively in color before tattooing. But something about black and gray has been so tantalizing recently.
Right. I always call it that conservative look. Right, it's like very like a suit and tie.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
to me.
More people will get it too. Yeah. And I think that it's a little bit more like I don't have to worry on whether or not that color will stick on you. It's black. Exactly. Black is black. Like it'll fucking do what
get
it is.
Get a tan, why don't you?
Yeah.
Drawing on paper or iPad?
For me, iPad.
Okay, all right. Interesting. If you could only tattoo one style for the rest of your career, what would it be?
I hate that question.
Oh, shit. I mean, my style.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you know what? Leave it there.
Yeah, you can leave it like we'll take that. We'll take that.
That's a smart ass.
You kind of answered this already, but conventions or guest spots?
Guest spots.
Guest spots. All right. Yeah. If you could tattoo anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I don't think this would go well for me, but I would really want to tattoo in China. I fear that with my whole life because I don't know if you know anything about Asians. They can be really fucking brutal sometimes. And the way that I know that I will get beat down is certainly a thing. And then also, of course, depending on where I go, there's a language barrier. But I would certainly love to. I want to go see shit in the world that I haven't gotten to see, you know?
Okay, that's cool. Least favorite style to tattoo?
Microrealism and watercolor.
All right. So that's 2 minutes. We're going to go past 2 minutes. We're going to give like an extra minute, right? Your favorite tattoo machine?
Ooh. The Bishop Packer or the Bishop Shader. I haven't bought the Bishop Shader because I'm a broke bitch, but I want it really bad. And I don't need it, but I want it really bad.
Okay. All right. About favorite color to tattoo with? I mean, you can say black if you want to.
Black is the color.
Black or I love gold. I'm a sucker for gold. I know that gold doesn't always necessarily show up on everybody universally, but there's just something so nice about gold.
Okay.
Royal about it. I don't know.
What's the hardest color for you to saturate?
Oh my god!
Fucking grays and lavenders, like those, like smoky. Really? Yes,
that's the same for me,
dude.
That's
like, there's something about like those neotrad smoky gray, dusty, gray pink shit. Dude, I don't know what it is. It's just, it's awful. And I can't pack it nearly as well with something bright and bold like a trad color. And I don't know what the fuck. And I'm not changing anything. I mean, like, I try to adjust as best as I can. I try to get it in there, and it just doesn't pack the same. I swear to you. No. It doesn't matter what kind of skin type they have.
No, holy, I feel shit, the same.
All right. My color. Everybody.
Well, you have an addiction. So.
Right.
Oh, just know blue is the worst color
blue,
for me.
Blue is pretty
blue
bad
is the
sometimes.
Worst
dark
color.
Blue is really hard.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's
this right.
Mid and
all
white
right.
blue that
someone's
gives me
cool.
the problem.
Someone's better
guy.
Than us. It's cool.
All right. Favorite needle brand?
Hextad and Quadrin. In that order.
Okay, I'll take Quadrin. Nice.
It's like I'm answering all Theo's questions in my head.
You broke for fucking Quadrin sometimes, you know, but Hextad
that's
good.
Yeah.
I really like Hextad liners.
Yeah, I like their liners.
But, all right, Bryson, what you want to answer that? What's your favorite needle brand?
Shit, whatever's cheap and do good work.
He was like,
I
am not loyal to no
locker.
He said, I ain't
it's
got
a lot of
Quadrin
and Vulcans up in there.
You'll see a lot of
Vulcan
different
is
brands.
Nice. I like Vulcan.
Vulcan's good, decent. Yeah.
There's only a few brands that I don't really like, and if I'm being honest,
I'll say this:
Moses
is medium type.
I don't know their names.
Okay. Yeah. It's one last question. This is just a hypothetical fun one. If your life depended on doing one of these tattoos as cleanly as possible, which would you choose? You have to tattoo a circle on the ribs with a 3-round liner, or you tattoo a color portrait. Realism.
Probably the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. I just
going for that realism.
I'm going for the portrait. I ain't
gonna lie. I'm going for the portrait. Yeah,
nah. Circle with a 3-round liner on
my head. Onto my head.
I like that.
You're gonna see a lot more errors in that because there's just less to distract you from the errors. So it would definitely be if I fucked up, I would fuck up. But I just don't have enough experience with it on skin for me to guarantee anything. Whereas my line work, I think I'm not
your
where I want to be,
clean.
But I'm decent.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
I'm okay.
No, that's
and solid. I've done circles like that on the chest with super thin liners and stuff like that. Like, I'll do that shit before I do a colored portrait.
Damn. Nah, that's real.
Riding the tube like a
and it's faster, which, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's either
right,
like 10
right.
minutes of work or 6 hours in tears. Like, I don't know which one is worse. Like,
right. Do a 6-hour portion. You know what? It's still not good enough.
Bullshit.
It was like, oh damn. But man, it was great questions, great answers, great discussion today. Like you brought a lot of great perspective, just on everything that we talked about. So you got any like one last statement you want to put out there before we wrap up the episode, or you feel like you left that all out there already?
Give anybody shout outs, whatever.
Yeah, any shout outs, whatever, you know.
Definitely shout out to Saints and Sinners. Amanda, yeah, the owner.
Shout out, Amanda.
Gave me my start in Atlanta, for
shout
sure.
Out. We need you on the podcast.
Yeah, we try to get
do
on.
That.
All right.
I know, but.
She's going to be like, no. And then she's going to go, hee, and then she's going to run away. Like, that's what she does. But everybody at Saints and Sinners, even like the Pierces and shit, they've been incredibly supportive. And they totally did not have to do that. Like,
that's awesome.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Once in a Blue Moon. Thank you for allowing me to be in your space. I know I'm pretty new, but that's been really nice.
Shout out to good tattoo shops out here.
Shout out to,
yeah.
Shout out to just the general concept of tattooers.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to the Seasons tattoo artist.
Right. Not old heads. Seasons.
Wait, hold on now. Seasons. They go in my DMs. What you got against me? Get out of my shit.
I guess just make shit. It doesn't have to be good. Don't be afraid of making bad art. If it's bad, that's okay, you know, especially when it comes to flesh. You're not doing it because someone is paying you to do it. You're doing it because someone might get it, and that might is not a guaranteed. Do what you fucking want. Don't try to do things to make, you know, your art look like someone else's. Just do whatever the fuck you want. It is the one thing that the industry cannot take away from you is just drawing your own shit when you want to, because that is, to me, the true essence of creative freedom in this industry that you might not always get in other aspects.
Yeah, well said.
There's a little high school kid right now. Oh my god, I knew I looked up.
Button, so we don't have.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but
we don't have the headphones on.
Yeah, we do it in real life too. So, but yeah, again, thank you. That was a great episode. Thank you for spending time with us and out of your schedule. Nah, that's no problem. And like I said, if you guys aren't following her, make sure you do.
Make
99
oh,
underscore.
99. 99 tattoos.
Yeah, 99 underscore
Instagram
tattoos.
299 tattoos because nobody could pronounce my name right. It's M-E-I. It's May, but it's pronounced like the month. And I always got like Mia and Mi were the most common.
Oh.
And I didn't mind because usually I was the only Asian one in the shop, so it's not like they had a hard time identifying me. But like, you know, it got easier for me to be like, oh, well, they can remember a number.
Right.
Like,
no, that's dope. I like the name, though. But
is there a particular reason why you chose 99?
99 problems.
So,
in the bitch ain't...
let's get this out of the way. I was born in 99, but secondly, my third ever mentor. I remember that I really, you know, when you're young, you really want to get tattooed. You're eager as an apprentice. And I was just like, can you tattoo me again? And he was just like, once you've done 100. And then I think that by the time I had, because he wasn't my mentor yet, it was just a whole thing. But when I moved to another shop, I was like thinking to myself one day while tattooing, like, damn, I wonder if I hit 100. What if I was at like 99, but I like convinced him I did 100? Like, it was just, it was a really stupid thought, but.
No, that's cool. It's always funny how people come up with their IG handles. Yeah. So,
but the main reason was just because it was fucking easier for people to remember. Because May Brazel, people usually didn't know how to pronounce it, and it wasn't as memorable. So I think for some people, it was just easier. Like, go, number bitch.
Okay.
All right, it works. Thanks. All right, we out of here, y'all.
Peace out.
What is this for?